providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are wrapping up the weekend edition with an interview that I aired earlier in the week with Jayant Bhandari. I think as you guys listen, you will understand why I aired it a little bit early, as Jayant had a bit of a trading strategy around Novo Resources. This was posted, I believe, back on Tuesday, reposting on the weekend show because there's some good information here for all of you who are interested in Novo Resources and even Eric Sprott. Everybody, I hope you enjoy this final segment of the weekend edition this week. Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. This daily editorial will also be featured on the weekend show as I am chatting with Jayant Bhandari. However, I did want to get it out early today on Monday, December 28th, because of the fact of, well, some of the timing that Jayant is going to share with all of you for this stock that we talk about. Jayant, before we started recording here, when we first hopped on the call, I was just asking you, you know, recap 2020, give me some insights into 2021, what's really on your radar? And you flat out said Novo Resources. Now, in full disclosure, I hold shares of Novo Resources. I think you still hold some shares, but I know that you have traded in and out of this stock. But it's on your radar now. Please give us a little update on why Novo is so front and center in your mind.
So I was recently communicating with Quentin about Novo Resources. I have some more information about what is happening with Beaton's Creek, Corey. And Corey, when Novo reached a share price of $8.40, one has to remember and remind oneself who were those people who were buying at $8.40. I was certainly a seller at $8.40. There was nothing that I could see which justified that kind of pricing. Now, that does not mean that Novo might have had a lot more value, but I could not see that value in front of my eyes. I did see in blogs that people were going absolutely crazy about what Kirkland Lake Gold and Eric Sprott were doing with Novo Resources. That was relatively irrational in my view when people invest based on what Eric Sprott and Kirkland Lake were doing rather than making their own rational judgment. So I was a very happy seller at that time. I was pleased that these people were happy to transfer money from their wallet to my wallet. At one point of time, I sold all my Novo Resources shares. Now recently, I have been accumulating them back. And the reason, Corey, is that there has been a lot of negativity around Novo Resources. Kirkland Lake Gold has sold most of their position of Novo Resources. There has been tax loss selling that has suppressed the share price of Novo Resources. Surprisingly, Corey, tomorrow, 29th, December will be the day when the latest financing of Novo Resources will come free trading. So one should expect a further fall in Novo Resources share price tomorrow, 29th December, as a result of free trading. That, I think, will become a very good opportunity for me to buy a lot of shares of Novo. The reason, Corey, is that I have been working on some numbers to do with Beaton's Creek. What I see in front of me is that Beaton's Creek is assuming that they can do what they claim they can once they go into production, actually next quarter, they could be generating as much as $150 million cash flow after paying for all the expenses on exploration and G&A that they have in other projects. So for me, Beaton's Creek itself, as it stands today, justifies the market capitalization of Novo Resources at the current share price of about $2.20. And I might be able to get some of Novo Resources shares tomorrow at less than $2.20 Canadian.
It's kind of crazy to think that we're now circling back around to Beaton's Creek, because Beaton's Creek was the project that was within the company when I first bought in. It must have been 4 years ago now, something like that. And then all of a sudden, this whole Karatha area came into play. And that's really what drove the market cap to close to $1 billion. Now the current market cap, a little over 500 million Canadian. But Giant, how are you balancing out the Beaton's Creek production that is expected to come online next year, but still all this interest that is on these Karatha projects to the west of Beaton's Creek?
For me, as based on what I see on my spreadsheet, that is all free upside for me, even after taking into account the exploration expenses the company will put on those projects. So if that is a free upside, I don't really want to worry too much about the valuation of those projects, because the Beaton's Creek at this moment provides me a full underpinning of valuation of Novo Resources. I think that Karatha and Agena have a significant upside, but I'm unable to put a valuation on it. The company has clearly not been able to meet the expectations of the market, and some of those expectations were built by the company. Given what it is, my view is that given that this is a free upside for me, I'm just happy to invest in Novo Resources just for Beaton's Creek for now.
Now, what timelines are you following along with when it comes to Beaton's Creek and actually getting into that production?
So remember, Beaton's Creek is not just Beaton's Creek anymore. They have a full-sized mill. That mill has about 6,000 ton per day capacity, which translates into 1.88 million tons capacity per year, which is a fabulous sized mill and one of the only mills in that area. Now, they not only have historical resources at Millennium Mining Ground, which is now a part of Beaton's Creek project, which something Novo hasn't really put out in public because I think they have to do their own independent valuation on the resources there. But Beaton's Creek has resources of about 800,000 ounces in the ground, grading more than 2.2 grams per ton based on the grade that will go into the mill. And that gives you a lifespan of maybe about 7 or 8 years. Now, this is a bit of arm waving, Corey, because Novo hasn't put out an economic study on the project with the current mill as a part of it and the resources of Millennium Mining as a part of the total plan. But with some arm waving, some guesses, I think they can run at a capacity of about 1.4 million tons per year, grading about 2.2 grams per ton. And I think that's reasonably feasible. I've been to the project a couple of times myself, and I think that's a good relatively conservative assumption to take on the project. Now, that will be an extremely good cash flowing project. Remember, 2.2 grams right at surface. It's a very shallow, flat lying deposit. The mining and processing costs will be minimal, and it will churn out a huge amount of cash flow. I wish them good luck. There has been a huge amount of delay in putting this project into production, so I can fully understand that the market is negative. And I do hope that the management of Novo manages to deal with their timeline on the project when they talk about when it will come into production.
Yeah, well, this year, that whole transaction with Millennium Minerals and bringing in that mill, that was a big update for the company. But Giant, you even said it there, there is no economic study out on this project. So don't you need to add some sort of risk premium to this investment as well?
Not necessarily, Corey, and I'm already including in my spreadsheet the risk associated with the merged projects. But the reality is that they did have an economic study on Beaton's Creek with an independent mill of their own in that economic study. And now, of course, they don't need to build that mill. They will be using the mill that has come from acquisition of Millennium Mining, and So you just have to restructure and accept that some of this this ore from Beaton's Creek will have to be trucked about, I think, 8 or 10 kilometers, which for a 2.2 gram per ton ore is actually not a huge problem. So if you account for all the extra expenses of trucking and the fact that you don't have to build a new mill for Beaton's Creek, and also the fact that you have a much larger mill, which means that some of the resources which you might not have put through the mill devoted exclusively for Beaton's Creek can now be put through in this Millennium Mining Mill, because that mill has already been paid for and already been refurbished. So taking into account all those things, I think the risks are minimal. From what I recall, they did not have a permit for tailings. And now, because Millennium Mining is a permitted project, they actually automatically have indirectly permit for tailings. Now, of course, they have to get government's approval that they can get rid of the tailings of Beaton's Creek at the project of Millennium Mining. But from what I have heard, that should not be a problem because the basic approval for tailings is already there. So taking into account all these things, I think the risks of the project have reduced hugely. I'm very excited about Beaton's Creek from now onwards. Now, what people often miss out on is that they forget to sell when the share price gets overpriced. They forget to sell and they still participate in feeding frenzy. Those are the time to sell. And this is the time what I think 29th December particularly will be for me the time to buy.
Okay, Giant, this leads us into another discussion very much related to Novo, and that deals with Eric Sprott and him, who has put in just hundreds of millions of dollars into the sector, and also Kirkland Lake. Let's start off with Kirkland Lake, because recently they have sold their position in Novo Resources. I know that's put a lot of investors in an uneasy situation, saying, why is Kirkland Lake selling? They were a major supporter as the company was growing. What's your thought on Kirkland Lake selling out of their position, first and foremost?
So, Corey, Kirkland Lake had their own ways of thinking when they invested in Novo and why they are selling shares of Novo Resources. Maybe their expectations did not get met based on what they were expecting from Agena and Karatha. But remember, Kirkland Lake was, in a way, from what I understand, indebted to Quinton Henny, because Quinton Henny did a fabulous job for them in discovering and expanding on their project in Australia. So Kirkland Lake and Eric Sprott, from what I understand, made a huge amount of money from Quinton Henny's contribution to the company. But what happens is sometimes that when Kirkland Lake and Eric Sprott invests in a company, they might have invested several tens of millions of dollars. But what might be a lot of money for me might have been just a small change for Kirkland Lake Gold and for Eric Sprott. So this is not a criticism of Eric Sprott. Of course, he has been extremely successful in investing his money. He has made a lot of money. And I always have respect for people who end up being successful. But I don't have to follow on their footsteps based on what they are fishing for. Because Eric Sprott might be looking for a return of merely a couple of percent, just trying to protect what his net worth already is. Whereas that should not be my investment interest. My interest should be to grow my relatively smaller sized net worth at a much higher rate than Eric Sprott can ever imagine growing his net worth at. So I think the interests of Eric Sprott and my interests don't necessarily have to coincide, and people should not necessarily follow the footsteps of Eric Sprott because his interests are different than my interests.
But how dangerous has that been this year? Because Eric has put in millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into, I don't even know how many companies, but at least a few dozen, maybe even 100 companies, probably not that many. But he has been putting a significant amount of money into individual companies. And we've seen those companies promote on the back end of that. It's included in a lot of news releases. And I know people are paying attention to it. but it's a different investment strategy, right? So how dangerous is this for investors to follow, Eric?
Oh, extremely dangerous. I think Eric Sprott, when his name gets used by companies to promote those companies, I think Eric Sprott should look at it and not let his name be abused. But then the problem is not with either the companies or with Eric Sprott. The problem is with people who fall for it. If you are superstitious and irrational, someone somewhere will exploit you. So even if Eric Sprott and companies stop doing those things that I might not agree with, these investors are suckers and they will suffer anyway. So I think the prime responsibility of mine is to make sure that I don't follow the herd. I don't necessarily follow what Eric Sprott is doing. I actually tend to sell stocks when they get pumped up because of the name of Eric Sprott being used. And that's I would expect from any rational investor. So my only suggestion would be not to follow Eric Sprott, which does not mean I have any disrespect for him. It's just that I don't want to be a part of that feeding frenzy.
Hey, fair enough, Giant. But you know what? I give Eric credit. He has supported this sector even a couple years ago when companies were struggling to get money. He put a lot of money into some companies that have really turned around their operations and even built some pretty strong companies on the back of it. So Eric has done really well, but we all just need to consider how much money he has and balance that out with our own individual portfolios, because I'm with you. It's easy to get sucked into what Eric's investing in, but we all need to understand and have our own investment thesis and strategy. Giant, hey, great chatting with you, buddy. Thank you for taking some time sharing your thoughts and even your trading strategy heading into tomorrow, Tuesday, December 29th. Giant, thank you very much. Have a very happy new year, and I look forward to chatting with you in 2021.
Thank you very much, Corey, and happy new year to you too.